This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, we got a fun one today. Here coming up in just a moment. Wyoming head basketball coach Sundance Wicks is going to join us. Love that so much. He's a fantastic interview. They got a big win over UNLV the other night. The Nuggets do it again. Peyton Watson, Jamal Murray, nice assist number. They beat Boston in Boston. 3-2 without Joker. We'll get into that today. Top stories, big trade in the NBA. The Rockies are in the news, like the national news. And a big one tonight for the UNC Bears as Steve Smiley is looking to get win number 100 as a Division I head basketball coach. The whole show starts now.
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
O'clock hour. Welcome in to the whole show live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, one of my favorite coaches, Sundance Wicks, head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys. They just beat UNLV the other night, 98-66. I believe that's the largest win in league play since 2001 as far as the deficit there. Coach, congrats on the win, my friend. Great to catch up with you.
Brady, oh man, well, it's an honor to be back on the show, big dog. Honor to be back on the show.
Man, you know, anytime. You could literally just call me anytime and be on anytime you want, man, because I could listen to Sundance Wicks every single day.
I'm sorry that you have to spend so much time with Steve Smiley. I mean, I know it's like pulling teeth every time you guys get together. But you guys got a fantastic show, man. You guys got a great show.
Well, and we kept talking about it. We just never got it done. But when the season is over, I'd like to get the two of you in the podcast studio. And I'm just going to sit back, grab a couple of beers or something, because I think the two of you, that would be a lot of fun to listen to you talk shop.
Well, I mean, we're polar opposites, right? We both coach a game of basketball, but you know, Steve is precise and detailed and dialed in all the time, and I'm going to talk about spirituality, metaphysics, something esoteric, and then we're going to go off on some tangents. So it could be a wild time, man. I'm not sure we'd ever get out of there.
All right, so Steve's a big bookworm. You know that. Like every time I talk to him, he's like, I read this book and I listened to this and I did some science and I'm doing math and all this stuff. And you're telling me, you're like, dude, let's go. You know, shoot from the hip, rock and roll. Time to go.
Well, there's a little substance behind the style there. You know, I got a stack full of books right now. Steve probably reads one book in about 2 days. I read about 10 books in a month. Right?
That's like, still so pretty damn good, though. That's really good.
But I'm going to read like enough pages just to get the gist of it. Then I'm going to start a new one because I don't need to read 300 pages to understand what the hell you're talking about.
That's kind of, you know, Coach Smiley's always bringing up these books and stuff. He's like, yeah, you ought to read it sometime. I'm like, man, you've given me like 30 books in this episode here. I don't know if I can get to one of those, but you know, still 10 books in a month. That's pretty good. And I know you keep the mind sharp. You're a great basketball mind. And I love what you guys are doing right now. 11-4 start for you, 2-2 in the Mountain West. Talk to me about that win against UNLV. I mean, this is just an aggressive basketball team. I mean, you can tell they're taking that image on of their head coach. It's a physical basketball team.
Yeah, sometimes the Christmas break can haunt you a little bit, right? You know, we had, for the first time, I think, since I've been coaching, we played a game on the 20th. We didn't play again until the 30th. You know, when you're in fight or flight mode as a player and as a coach, you're always kind of on to the next. And those short Christmas breaks just kind of keep you in a rhythm. But when you have one where guys can go home for 4.5, 5.5 days, you know, you can lose some stuff there too. And I was worried about that. And we came back after the Grand Canyon game and we hadn't played a good, you know, 40-minute, full 40-minute game yet. So we kind of had to get our rhythm back, but also I challenge you guys. I mean, in this league, I believe that you got to really protect your home. You got to defend the dome. You got to protect your home. And then you got to go try to steal some on the road, and it's a hard, hard league. And so I was challenging our guys after New Mexico, after Grand Canyon, after Air Force, three games. We got to put a full 40 together. And we didn't come back right after Christmas, and I feel like we kind of finally just imposed our will the way we should have against a really good UNLV team, you know, that maybe didn't want to come to Laredice. But at the end of the day, this team needs proof of concept, Brady. They needed to prove that they could go compete with a team, you know, like UNLV in our league and go win one and go dominate one. You got to have that. Otherwise, if you're just kind of hanging on to it by a thread with a little bit of a shell of yourself with not real confidence, not real belief, I'm just not sure, you know, you're going to go on the road and beat a big dog. So that was big for us to give ourselves a great opportunity heading into to Nevada.
Well, and I love, you know, just with you owning everything that is Wyoming, talking about the altitude, saying, hey, we want to make this a really difficult place to play. We want guys to not want to come here because they know it is going to be an absolute war zone when you take on the Cowboys at home, especially.
Well, yeah, we're 9-1 at home right now, right? And we haven't lost a non-conference game since I've been here at home. And I think part of this, too, is people don't realize, you know, the United States Olympic Training Center is in Colorado Springs, right? It's right around 5,500 feet. And so everybody says, you know, we practice hard, we train hard. Physiologically, there is no harder place to train in college basketball or college athletics, for that matter, than Laramie, Wyoming, because it's 7,220 feet. So if you're an athlete or a player that really wants to test the limits of what you're capable of, then you come up here and you become a Cowboy, and then you play your butt off, and you're training at 2,000 feet higher than where the best in the world train at the Olympic Center, right? I mean, you think about that stress and press you're putting on your body, and then for teams to have to come in here from sea level, it's no joke, man. It's no joke.
Joining us now, head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys basketball team, Sundance Wicks. I was cracking up. I was reading a mutual friend in Alex Wesley's story the other day, too, one of your quotes to the referees. I love this, and I love this energy, where you said the refs came over and said, I've blown the whistle a lot, and you said, don't you understand what we're trying to do? We're trying to break the Guinness Book of World Records for most fouls in a season. And you know what? You play with aggression. There was a lot of fouls in that game, and I know you're going to talk about that with me. But at the same time, when I'm watching NBA, I look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm like, they might foul a lot. Sometimes they get called. But when they play an aggressive style of defense, sometimes it's not as jarring to the system. Eventually, maybe the refs just swallow that whistle, knowing that, hey, this is an aggressive basketball team.
Well, we have 12 guys that we can play when we're healthy. And I tell her, don't save them. Don't save them. Now, we got to get better at the ones that are 10-1-4s, hand checks, or body bumps, you know, outside the 28-foot line. Those ones, just they kill me. But, you know, we're undersized, so we're going to be outmatched down low, and so we're going to be physical. We're going to be scrappy. We're going to rake and in the gaps on drives, and we're going to pick up some of those. But we also lead the league in steals, right? And so it's one of those, you know, gift and a curse type deals where we got to be a little bit more selective in that. And, yeah, we own the most fouls in the Mountain West play right now at 31 in a game against UNLV. I think we had 27 as well. We are 362nd in fouls. But there's an – you don't want it to be that way, but we're also number one in the country. Crazy stat here. We're first in the country at not allowing assisted baskets. So that means we are allowing teams to play one-on-one. There's going to be more opportunities to pin fouls. That means if the clock stops, ironically here, people talk about pace, you know, you want to play fast. But if we're scoring 85 points a game on average, you know, with our non-conference and conference combined, we're getting more possessions because the clock stops when we foul. So, you know, you can talk about good and bad. You know, you better have a good offense, but we're going to get a lot of possessions. It's like running the football, or it's like passing the football and, you know, passing in the West Coast offense in football. That ball gets, you don't catch it, that clock stops, we're going to get another one.
Well, you said, too, in that quote, too, that's why we can score in the 90s, because the clock never runs. It's an unbelievable strategy. And I love that. What is that balance like, though? Because, like you said, there are aspects of the foul game we got to clean up, but you want that style. You know, you absolutely, that's, it seems to me anyway, that's what you want. You want this aggressive style of defense, but that has to be kind of a fine line to walk there a bit when you are trying to clean some of those things up.
Yeah, and we're still figuring that out with our guys, right? And I think we had a really young team. I think we're 258th or so plus in Division I experience. You know, so we got a lot of young guys. And I think the hardest thing to do as a player coming into college is to learn how to defend without fouling. The single hardest thing to guard in the game of basketball is a closeout on a rotation. To be able to close out, take away the shot, play the drive, defend without fouling, and make them get to the next, that is an extremely hard concept. And freshmen always struggle with that. Young players always struggle with that because the instincts tell you, I just got to use my hands to stop the momentum a little bit, right? And eventually, the longer you play, you understand spacing, you understand angles, you understand momentum, and then you get to become a smarter position pressure defender. And that's a process, right? So for us, we're constantly teaching the art of the closeout, the art of the rotation, you know, how to understand spacing, angles, and momentum. And then we just got to get guys to not take the bait. I mean, it's just, I clip the ball or unnecessary fouls. There's no game in college basketball where it's going to be played without a team getting into bonus or double bonus. It's going to happen.
Sure.
Almost every half, right? So for us, we just don't want our fouls to be wasted. We don't want to put them in the bonus at 12 minutes or 13 minutes because we picked up three stupid hand checks. Right. If we could get that thing stretched down to maybe under 5 minutes or 4 minutes, well, now we can strategically foul. Right. Maybe you could foul a guy in a one-on-one who's not a great free throw shooter, and then you get that possession back. So there's a lot of things that go into this as far as our process is concerned. But those are the things we have to clean up. Just the ticky-tack, you know, irresponsible, unnecessary fouls way away from the basket.
Big win, though, 98-66. Missing a couple of guys in this one, but how about Leland Walker just going off, getting close to that 30 mark there, 28 points for him in the win over UNLV. What a night. What a game.
Yeah, Leland Skywalker, as they were calling him on the old CBS Sports Network. You know, he's a little guy that can fly, man. I tell you what, he's really fun to watch. You know, a lot of Poke fans are dubbing him their favorite player just because of, you know, when a player looks like you, right, when a player's like your size and you're sitting there going, man, you want to cheer for the little guy. And he could get up there and he can fly with the best of them. But that's why we recruited him. You know, we wanted to get him back to his Eastern Kentucky efficiency numbers where he was a high usage guard. We've always had him, you know, Maldonado, Obi Agbum, Noah Reynolds, guys that are 28% of the possessions used, 25%+ of the shots. You know, we have high usage guards that are really efficient. And he's starting to become that next guard for us in this play.
Sundance Wicks joining us. Coach, I'll let you go here in just a moment. I know you got practice to get to. I don't want to be the guy responsible for keeping you from that. But another note from Alex Taylor again on his social media account. He noted your response to the other night, a couple nights ago, I guess, New Mexico fans saying that you were too hard on your players during the games. And I know for our listeners, man, and players we talk to, a lot of players I talk to, they want to be coached hard. They want to a coach to try to get the best out of them. Can you kind of just give us the gist of your response to certain fans saying that you're too hard on these guys?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if people actually watch basketball anymore. I don't think they you watch Danny Hurley. He's a great coach.
Yeah,
Nobody would call Danny Hurley. Nobody would say he's an awful coach.
No,
right? Guys. Tom Izzo. Like, you watch his interactions with his players. I mean, you love your guys, man. Outside the lines, you love them. And inside the lines, we compete. And there's a job that needs to be done. I would find it really hard pressed for anybody out there coaching. You know, and I have a lot of empathy for coaches who say I can't hold, especially high school coaches, I can't hold my players accountable because their parents, you know, they're going to come at me if I do something like that. Well, I'm sorry. The minute these kids started getting a check, all right, and a lot of these kids are making more than those fans sitting up in the stands, like, you're telling me that you wouldn't want that kid to be held accountable or to a higher standard? I'm sorry, but this is big time college basketball. And here's what happens. If coaches lose, they get fired, right? If coaches win, they get an extension. If players play well, you know, they get a raise. And players play bad, they can transfer. There's a lot of things that go on in the game of college basketball now, but at the end of the day, what shouldn't change is the ability for a coach who's in a serious position of leadership to show guys what it's like to handle adversity, to push guys through uncomfortable places, and then to love them when they go through hard things. And we went through some hard things here in our first couple of games in the league. And I was trying to get our guys to get to a right level. And you know what? They responded with a 30-point win at home that hasn't been done in 25 years. So I'm sorry, but if that's the response we get for holding our players accountable, damn it, I tell you what, I'm going to do that every dang time. You know why? Because it's good to win, and everybody loves a winner. I'll tell you, plain and simple, right there.
Well, and I mean, 11-4, it's right there. Great start to the season, and I know big one coming up against Nevada. I love your style, Coach, for the record. And I think, you know, seeing how college sports just continues to evolve, hearing you talk on that, I know at some point down the road maybe we can get into more of that. But, man, I'm fascinated by what you're doing, how you're doing it. So from us here, man, just keep up the great work.
Brady Holt, always a pleasure, man. Never a chore. You just keep doing the good work and fighting the good fight, my man.
Hey, let's get you down here in the off season. Lunch is on Coach Smiley. He already told me that. A couple beers too. You know, whenever you have the time, you come down here. We'd love to have you.
Hey, bourbon and basketball. Let's go.
Hey, that's the new podcast right there. We got it, Coach Sundance Wicks. Hey, best of luck to you coming up against Nevada, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
You got it, brother. BYOJ, go Pokes.
All right, man. There he is, head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys, Sundance Wicks. I love his style. I absolutely love the style. Now, when he says he and Steve are polar opposites, I always kind of view Sundance Wicks as like more of a, I don't know, just more of an aggressive Steve Smiley. But maybe there's more differences than I know. But though, for the record, those two, if you haven't followed the show, Steve Smiley, head coach of the UNC Bears, and head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys, Sundance Wicks, are like basically brothers, man. They're best friends. They're tight. They were in each other's weddings, all that stuff. Great dudes. And yeah, this post from Alex Taylor, who I believe we're going to have on the show tomorrow, that writes for Wyoming News. New Mexico fans were saying that, you know, hey, he's too hard on his players. A lot of people tweeting this. Here was one tweet that says, how does Sundance get kids to play for him? The dude is psycho and verbally berates them often. I'll tell that dude to kick rocks. But see, that's the thing. Whoever that person is that's saying it can't take that kind of coaching, and not every good player can take that kind of coaching. We got one of the best players in the state of Colorado right now, Madden Smiley, Steve Smiley's son. You know where he's going, Mike? He's going to Wyoming. And when I asked him about Sundance's style and that aggressive nature, I keep using the word aggressive. That's the word of the day.
Assertive,
aggressive, whatever you want to say. Madden Smiley says, oh, man, I love it. I want somebody to get in my freaking face if I'm screwing up, because what does Madden want to do? He wants to be the best basketball player he can possibly be. And rather than have a coach that's like, aren't you, buddy, you're okay, you're all right. You don't get to be top players in the country, or high school players in the state, top players in the country. You don't get to that if you have a coach that's kind of just like, I can't really coach you because, you know, you'll get upset, you'll transfer. And college coaches have to hear from mom and dad still, too. It's not just a high school thing. They're hearing from mom and dad now.
Yeah, I think whoever wrote that article, you're right. That person is not the type of person that wants to get yelled at. But there are those people that love the aggressive personality of coaches. You can't broad brush every player, because not every player is the same. Not every player craves the same type of leadership. That's probably part of the reason why there are some people who go into the transfer portal. Maybe they don't like the head coach because the head coach isn't right for them.
When I played high school basketball, and again, this is small town USA stuff, I basketball was tough. Football, I just loved it from freshman year to senior year. Basketball was a grind. We had a coach, though. Shout out, because I love this man. I was terrified of him. His name's Mark Stevenson. And when I was in junior high, I'm like, I'll be full disclosure. When I'm in junior high, I'm going, man, I hope he's not the coach when I get into high school, because I watched him on the sidelines and he was just terrifying, man. So nervous to go to practice. My first, you know, when we went to summer camps as I'm heading into my freshman year. But you know what I did, man? I went out. I just busted my ass. I just ran all over the place. I couldn't handle the ball very well for a few years, but I was a defensive specialist because I wanted to impress that coach, and he made me better every single day. And I'll tell you this, Mike, when we won the Colorado Broadcasters Association Award a couple years ago for the whole show, he had reached out to me and he said, hey, that's my point guard. That was pretty cool. But, you know, I was like, coach, you forget, man. I was two. You only used me as point guard in really weird situations, but I was your two guy. But it doesn't matter. He was that guy got the best out of me. He was also a teacher, too. The only classes I remember in high school, Mike. The rest of them, I couldn't tell you.
Did he throw a clipboard?
No, but he was like a college professor. If you sat down in his class and he started talking and lecturing, and then he looked down and go, why aren't you writing this down? He's like, I'm not giving you a study guide. I'm not doing that kind of thing, man. You make your own study guide. He forced the only reason I got through college is because I had a teacher like him, a coach like him. So those are the guys that I personally love. They can scare the hell out of you, though. And I had a bunch of dudes that quit. My senior year, we had so many guys quit after, like, the first week of practice because he was getting after it. Eastside Chris says, I'm thinking Go Pokes smoking a cigarette right now. Yeah, Go Pokes, you're welcome. Getting Sundance Wicks on the show. And we couldn't go into, you know, too much deep detail with him because I was told to get him out at 10 minutes, Mike. I think we kept him on a little bit longer than that. But, man, I love that coach. I'm a fan of that coach.
Well, you asked him a 10-minute amount of questions.
I think so.
And he went like 17-minute amount of questions.
Take that all day, man. Listen, what I like is characters. And I'm not saying like it's not to be like a disparaging remark. I like when I say John Madden and John and Gruden, like those guys are characters of the league. Those are the legends of the game, too. And so around here in our coverage map, we have some unique coaches that I like to talk about, all very different. Ali Farokhmanesh, guy gets on this show very reserved. You know, yeah, we joke around a little bit. You get Steve Smiley on, very straightforward. You know, that guy's a smart dude. He's by the book. You get Sundance on, and he's like, psh, you don't like my style? Damn it, man, tough for you. You know, and Tad Boyle's just kind of old school. So I love that we have four coaches that I like to, that I pay attention to, that all have very unique personalities. And Wyoming might be pretty good, man. You know, and their non-conference schedule so far, they lose to Grand Canyon 82-70. They beat Air Force. They lost to New Mexico 78-58. New Mexico's not a bad team. Right now, Wyoming might be like a middle-of-the-road team. They might be a middle-of-the-road team, but they got a big one coming up against Nevada this Saturday. That'll be 8 o'clock, probably on the Mountain West Network. Faith says, awesome name. Is that not the best name, though? She said, what a cool dude. And yes, Faith, I did see that. I'm going to get to that in the top story. Faith sent me a message on Instagram, and I always forget how to check messages. It's not as obvious on X and Facebook as it is. Instagram's not as obvious. It's hard to find those. But I did see that message last night from Faith, so I'm going to talk about that. Thank you, Faith, for that. Yes,
what's
Michael.
Instagram?
Instagram is like Twitter, but not. It's more for videos and pictures and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I think like Facebook is more for sharing life updates with people. X, Twitter, to me, is more for like news, reports, funny stuff, whatever, depending on who you follow. And then Instagram is for pictures and videos and all that stuff. Modeling stuff, Mike. So you'll probably need one soon so you can get
because
those pictures
I'm so
out there.
Damn handsome.
Yeah. I'm going to get into that story, though. So thank you. And Hulligan, send me stuff. If you guys have stuff you want me to that I'm not hitting, let me know. And I want to correct something that I messed up on Good Morning NoCo today on the Nugget side of things about Christian Brown. Let me correct that, Mike. You want me to do it now?
No, I don't want you to do it at all.
You why?
I want you to be wrong.
I was wrong.
No, I want you to be
I
wrong.
I forgot about this,
wrong.
Which I was so freaking adamant about last year when people were like, trade Aaron Gordon or trade Aaron Gordon. I'm like, well, you couldn't trade Aaron Gordon because you just signed his contract extension, you know, to start the season. And you have to, what is it, 6 months? You can't trade a player who just signs a contract extension for 6 months. That is the same situation for Christian Brown. The reason I bring this up is a discussion is starting to formulate in my brain about just how good Peyton Watson has been for the Nuggets. Did the Nuggets make the wrong choice in signing Brown's extension, but not Peyton Watson, who will be a free agent coming up after the season? Well, you can't trade Christian Brown, even if that were a discussion, because that would be the only way you could make room for Peyton Watson. You can't trade him during the season. But could you trade him after the six-month mark? So you couldn't trade him before the trade deadline. So you could wait till the end and then you could trade him, make room for Watson. Food for thought. We'll get into that because the Nuggets went into Boston last night and got another unlikely win. And I say unlikely because they were 9.5-point underdogs, and they found a way to get it done. They're getting guys back, though. Still no Nikola Jokic. Let's talk Denver Nuggets coming up on the other side. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Find out what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, Ram fans. This is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Nuggets get another pretty significant win last night. They beat the Boston Celtics in Boston. And Boston pretty much, you know, without Tatum, Tatum's been out since, I don't know, around mid-October or so. But you still got Jaylen Brown in that game. You still had Peyton Pritchard. You still had Derek White. I mean, this is still a really good basketball team sitting at 23-12 before Denver took them on. I think they were coming off of like a 4 or 5 game winning streak. They did not lose many basketball games in the month of December. I think they went 8-2 in their last 10 games. So that is a good basketball team yet again that you went into and you found a way. Without Nikola Jokic. Now, Christian Brown did play in this game. He started in this game. He played 30 minutes last night. Aaron Gordon came off the bench playing 23 minutes. He had 12 points. The story, though, on the point side is Peyton Watson. 30 points for him. He was 10 of 15, 6 of 7. 6 of 7. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, Mike. Did I just say it? 6, 7? Did I say it?
Yeah,
you weren't paying attention back there. You were looking at Instagram or something. I was hoping you'd be excited about it.
I'm trying to figure out what it is.
Nobody knows. I don't think anybody knows. But Peyton Watson was 6 of 7. So I'm always trying to find that now. It's like score origami. Now, we just look for a 6 of 7. 6-7 in some fashion. But Peyton Watson was damn good. Jamal Murray, though. That was the most assists he's had in a game. Is that right? 17 assists for him. He had 8 boards. So when Joker's not around, is Jamal Murray going to start getting triple-doubles? Can I say something, first off, about Jamal? I know I have been accused of being too critical of Jamal Murray over the years. You want to know why, Mike? I'm going to do what Sundance Wick says. I love that dude. But I put more pressure on that dude because I know, watching him in college play for Kentucky, and when he started out in the league, I just had a feeling, looking at that guy, he was going to be an all-star, a superstar type player. I said when he was 2 years after he was drafted, I said, Jamal Murray could potentially be better than Steph Curry. Now, Steph Curry is a Hall of Famer. Steph Curry is one of the great basketball players of all time. Jamal's probably not going to reach that at this stage in his career. But the reason I've always been so critical about Jamal is because I believe he has it in him. I think he could be one of the best players in the league. This season, mentally, physically, all of it, just listening to his post-game reports and his interviews, he is finally getting to that. Because there's games where he looked like amazing. And there's games where he just kind of felt, you know, drifted away. This season has been the difference. He has looked like an all-star, a consistent all-star for the first time in his career. So, love Jamal. But I'm harder on Jamal than I probably am anybody else on that team because I think he's great. So it's a compliment. Mike, the whole show, when we're critical of you, it's because we believe in you, okay? Peyton Watson, 30 points. 30 points for Peyton. And I want to get into this a little bit later, but there's an issue there. You can't trade Christian Brown. I screwed up on Good Morning NoCo. You can't. You signed him to the contract extension. In October, they would have to wait for 6 months before you could potentially trade him. Why am I bringing this up? Because Peyton Watson is a free agent in 26 and the 26-27 season. He'll be he's not under contract for that season. They picked his team option up for this season. The guy's probably a $20 million guy. Probably around what Christian Brown's contract is next year, is 21.5. You can't do it. You just can't do it. The Nuggets are already in 26-27, according to the aprons right now, and I've got that pulled up. And this is just this year, but the first apron is $195 million. Second apron is $207 million. The Nuggets are already at $217 million. So I don't know how the aprons will change next year, but they are over that next year. But they have four team contracts that could maybe get them down closer to the 200 mark. They're going to want to try to avoid that apron. I would look for Zeke Nnaji to get traded this year. His stock is going up. But the problem is with Peyton Watson, there's not enough room. There's not enough room to get him. I mean, I'm looking at the dollars here. Hunter Tyson is 2.4. Jalen Pickett's 2.4. So let's just call that $9 million there. Julian Strother is almost 5. So let's call that $14 million. Daron Holmes, you have a team option next year. Let's call that, it's $3.3 million. So let's just say we're sitting at $10 million. That's $10 million. Just in those guys. Now, if you trade Zeke Nnaji, now you're getting close because that's 7.4. If you could get rid of Zeke Nnaji's contract this year, don't pick up any of those players I just mentioned's team option, then you maybe could get Peyton Watson. But then you still have like Tim Hardaway Jr. who's on a one-year deal. Bruce Brown's on a one-year deal with this team. Jalen Pickett's on that team option deal too. Do you want to see him go? It doesn't look like it's in the stars unless the offices of Tenzer and Wallace can work some kind of magic or witchcraft that I don't believe they can. But then again, I didn't think they could move Michael Porter Jr. and they did. So we'll get into that a little bit later on in the program. But here's the question. Did the Nuggets jump the gun by signing Christian Brown? If you could do it over again, would you have signed Peyton Watson? And I have mixed feelings. Who's the better player today? Peyton Watson. He's starting to handle the ball well. You know, for a 3-4 guy, he's shooting better. He's got a great finish, but so does Christian Brown. But it's a tough one. Brown probably fits the scheme that is, you know, because again, Brown's two. You know, where would you ultimately put, who would be your number two guy if Christian Brown wasn't on this team? It'd be Tim Hardaway Jr. or Bruce Brown. You know, Watson can play, he can play the two, but he's probably more of a three. So that, you know, just in terms of what that looks like position-wise, Brown makes more sense. But Peyton Watson, he's averaging 12.7 points per game. 5 rebounds per game, a little over almost 2 assists per game. This year, though, he is taking it up a notch, man. 30 points against Boston, 24 against Philly, 23 against Brooklyn. These are Michael Porter Jr. numbers for those of you that are following along. So that's why we say Porter Jr., it wasn't the output, it was the contract. Watson's putting up very similar numbers to MPJ, not scoring necessarily from the 3-point line, but he's giving you that same kind of production this last, let's call it in the month of January for sure, probably late December, you started to see him pick up that game. But I think he's a really good player. I don't know. I think we need to make peace with the fact that you're going to get this run here and hope he can really contribute. But ultimately, Peyton Watson will probably not be on this team. Faith says, Brady, no, don't fall down the hole. 6-7. What does it mean? I don't know. Texter from the 970.
Doesn't mean anything.
Perhaps Jokic is overrated. Maybe the Nuggets should trade him. Yeah, I saw somebody had commented to say maybe the Nuggets get away from that two-man game and the pick-and-roll game so much with Jamal and Joker when he gets back. Let's not look at this team right now and say, well, wait, they're winning in different ways. Yeah, pump the brakes a little bit. You want, whenever Joker gets back, you go back to Joker basketball. That's what you do.
Who sent the trade Jokic text? Is that Tanner?
No, it was a 970 number. Why would it be Tanner?
I mean, he did want to trade Cale Makar.
He did. Yeah. But you're not really one to talk. You can't give Tanner a hard time because you've predicted the Broncos to win the Super Bowl every single year. Right? That's a pretty bad take.
Well, I explained to you guys every year.
It doesn't matter.
Why
it's a bad
I say
take.
That and you guys don't listen.
So you picked them to win when they had Nathaniel Hackett. You literally picked the Broncos to win a Super Bowl when Nathaniel Hackett was the head coach. Like, that's probably a worse take than Tanner's trade Cale Makar, to be honest with you.
I'll explain it again.
What is it?
Every morning, every Sunday morning, I get up and I'm like, the Broncos are going to win today.
You're right.
Every time it's Sunday morning,
yeah.
I get up every Monday, whenever they play, every game morning, I wake up and I know they're going to win.
Very weird.
So why should I predict them to lose when I know that morning they're going to win?
But they didn't all those mornings, right?
Sometimes they don't do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do.
Well, most of the time they have not won the Super Bowl. They've won three of them. So most of the time they're not winning the Super Bowl. So I'm just defending Tanner. I know, but if you're going to call out Tanner for a bad take, you have to admit yours is the worst take in all of sports. Any respectable sports person, which I guess, I don't know if you are, doesn't just pick with their heart. And you do that. So your take
with my heart.
Your take is actually worse than any take Tanner's ever had.
Yeah, but I don't expect people to take my take seriously. Tanner
doesn't matter what you expect
Tanner
them to.
Did Tanner say that and expect to be taken seriously?
Sure. But you know, they did end up trading a pretty big time player.
But not Cale Makar.
No, it's true. I think Cale Makar is one of the best players in hockey. So that was a big one. But yours is actually worse, though, because you did predict the Broncos to go undefeated when Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson led the Broncos. So I don't know which one's worse. Probably that one.
To be fair, we thought Russell Wilson was...
Right. But you did pick them to go undefeated. You picked them to break a record that... Well, I guess that would be the record because the 72 Dolphins did it when there was, 11 games or whatever it was?
14.
So you predicted the Broncos to do what no other team has ever done in the history of the world when Nathaniel Hackett was the head coach. I would say that was probably a worse take than trade Cale Makar.
Did the Patriots breaking that? They didn't
no,
win the whole
They lost the
season.
Super Bowl. They won every game except for the Super Bowl, and it was Eli Manning's Giants.
Yeah,
yeah.
That went, I think, 9-7.
Yeah, we got a break, though, okay? 9-7 or 6-7? Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Okay, Mike, you blew the clock, buddy. What more can I say? Your fault again. You're supposed to be the producer of the show. You got to keep me on track, Mike.
Oh, you and your Nuggets talk.
11:52. Let's take a short break here. We do have to. Okay, so here's a conundrum for you, real quick. Can I say it? 9 teams have reportedly made calls to inquire about potentially hiring Jim Harbaugh. The problem is there's only 6, maybe 7 openings.
Adam
Schefter says you can't do that. We'll talk about what that means coming up next.
For Avalanche Games and Talk, Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
All right, so there's a lot more firings going on. We had one today in the NFL. We'll get to in top stories of the day. One that might make more sense than all of them to potentially be Vance Joseph's next landing spot. We'll get into that. Adam Schefter, though, I sent you the clip, Mike, so go look for it during the break here. He says coaches can't fire their coach in hopes of getting a Harbaugh, like right now. Now, is he saying they can't legally, or they can't because it would be a very big gamble to fire your coach that you like while hoping that Harbaugh chooses you? Because online, we're seeing Harbaugh is rumored to have 9 teams interested in him. There's not 9 teams that have fired their coach, Michael. So that means
Steelers,
Bills.
No.
Steelers, Bills, maybe. Steelers, Bills.
Steagles.
Steagles?
From the 1940s.
Okay.
World War II.
Top stories up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.